This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580 and online at WILL.UIUC.EDU. Good afternoon, I'm Celeste Quinn. If you have back problems, if you've ever had a backache, you know it's no picnic. It can be debilitating. Most people experience back pain, though. So what can we do to better care for our backs? That's what we're going to talk about this afternoon. Our guest is an exercise physiologist. Her name is Miriam Nelson. She's the author of a series of best-selling books on strength and health, including Strong Women, Strong Hearts, Strong Women and Men Beat Arthritis, and Strong Women, Strong Bones. Her latest book is about backs and back pain. The title, Strong Women, Strong Backs. She's written this book with Lawrence Linder. Miriam Nelson is an associate professor at the Friedman School of Nutrition, Science, and Policy, and director of the Center for Physical Activity and Nutrition at Tufts University. Listeners, your questions for Miriam Nelson are invited this afternoon. Join us with a telephone call. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area is 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, call toll-free 800-222-9455. 800-222-WILL. Strong Women, Strong Backs is published by Putnam. And you might want to check out this website, www.strongwomen.com. Very nice website. 333-9455, 800-222-9455. Dr. Nelson, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks so much for having me, Celeste. I'm really looking forward to this.
Good. Well, tell us about your personal experience with back pain. This is something you know about personally.
Yeah, I do know about back pain personally. When I was in sixth grade, I was pretty athletic at the time, and I can remember one recess with a friend of mine. Her name was Barbie, really was her name. We were sort of challenging each other to see how well we could do dive rolls over boxes. So it's like a gymnastics move. So you sort of do a roll, but you're diving into it. And as the boxes got higher, my arms were getting more fatigued, and finally my arms gave way, and I just smacked my head and my whole back, and I crushed three of the vertebrae in the thoracic part of my spine, which is sort of the middle back, and really just collapsed. And long story short, you know, I went to the hospital, had an X-ray, and, you know, I was 12 years old, and saw that I had broke my back, but I, you know, had not hurt any of the nerves, which was good, and I just had to have a brace for about 3 months, and I can tell you, as a sixth grader, it's not something you really want to have happen, but the biggest thing was, you know, the physician had said to me, you know, as you grow older, you're probably going to have back problems, and when I was 12, you know, 40 years old seemed a long way away, and now it's here, I'm 46, and, you know, I have periodically through the years when I was, pregnant and nursing my three kids, and different times I've had back problems, pretty severe at times where, you know, you really just need a heating pad on your back or ice or something. And I have to say, between my own personal experience and then the work that I do here at Tufts in sort of exercise, nutrition, and women's health, start to realize that, you know, I am by no means alone in terms of back problems. And really 60 to 90% of adults can expect to have back problems, you know, throughout some point in time in their lives. It's the second major reason why people see their doctors, which is, you know, first reason is the common cold, the next is back problems, and it ranks fifth for hospitalization. So it is a major concern, and yet we still don't know a lot about back pain, and that's what I wanted to do with Strong Women, Strong Backs, is to put that information that we do know into a program and into a sort of usable format so that women could really benefit from it.
Yeah. Now, it used to be that bed rest was recommended. Today, the research shows movement is much more beneficial. What kind of movement are we talking about, and how soon should we start to try to move?
Well, it is fascinating. I mean, yes, well, for many things, even, you know, heart attack, it used to be that with bed rest was the best thing, and now we realize that almost all conditions, that getting up and moving around is good for you. With our backs, what happened when you would go to bed is you become stiffer, less flexible, weaker, and then you just compound the problems. Now, certainly there are some back problems where, like, you know, when I broke my back, I needed to rest for a week, you know, before I sort of got back and going again. But for most back problems, you do want to be moving around in some way. Well, the latest research shows us that really a combination of exercises is the best thing that you can do for minimizing your back problems. And there is a element of strength, so some basic exercises that target what we call the core or the trunk. So this is the abdominal area as well as the lower, mid, and upper back and your shoulders. And then really just getting out and doing aerobic exercise of any type, so walking or biking or just getting out and moving is important. And then some specific sort of flexibility exercises. And I'm not talking about overdoing the flexibility, because we actually know if you're too flexible, that can be a problem as well. So we're just talking about maintaining a good moderate level of flexibility.
Okay, let's talk with a listener. A listener in Champaign would like to talk with you. He or she is on line one in Champaign. Hi.
Hi. This is a very timely subject, given, and you just mentioned being pregnant and having back pain. Well, I never broke my back, but I'm pregnant and have back pain. And wondered about, I know that sit-ups were tended to be good exercises when you have a, when you're not pregnant, but now that I'm pregnant, I can't do that for strengthening my back. What are some things that help as far as flexibility and strengthening someone's back when they're pregnant?
Yeah. Well, congratulations.
Thanks.
Very, very exciting. And with pregnancy, the thing with backs is the pain may actually come and go. You might find that there's long periods of time where you don't have any sort of nagging back pain, and then others that when you do. You do want to make sure that sleeping, that you have good support, and that it might be that you need some extra pillows, like on your knees and things like that, so that you can minimize any of the pressure on your spine from being pregnant. So the
right,
you're
talking to a back sleeper. So.
Okay, well, it's tough.
It's so hard to do that
really,
now, anyway.
You'll probably need to get on your side.
Right. I got one of those big, long pillows.
Yep. So that's important. So the sleep is important.
Right.
And then throughout your day, you want to make sure that when you are sitting, that you've got a good supportive chair, that the shoes that you're wearing are good for walking in. And then with the exercises, literally walking will help itself. And then there are some flexibility exercises for your back that you can still do when you're pregnant. And they would be more things like you can, it's sort of hard to describe over the radio, but basically you could sit at the front of a chair, bend one knee, have one other leg out straight, and then you're leaning towards that other leg. So even with a belly, you can do that pretty well.
Oh.
Because it's not that you want your shoulders coming, that you want your whole back to be coming forward, and that would give some stretch to the lower to the hamstrings, which is in the muscles in the back of the leg.
Okay.
And then there's some other ones with what we would call vitamin H. I like it because it's sort of a hamstring exercise. You're standing, and then there's a chair in front of you, and you bend over so that your legs and your back form a right angle.
Huh.
And then you put your hands on the chair to support you, and then you keep your back as straight as possible. And that can also get at your lower back and your hamstrings. And then really just sort of keep moving. If you just really sit too much, then, you know, that's when things get to be more problematic. But getting out for a walk, doing some swimming, getting some just basic exercise will really help a lot.
Okay, so that in itself is going to help out with the flexibility.
Yep.
Okay.
And, you know, again, there may be some little things you might have to live with, but you want to minimize them.
Okay.
So, yeah, okay. But good luck. How far along are you?
6 months.
Oh, great. Yeah. Exciting.
So, great. Well, thanks so much.
Thanks.
Next, we talk with a listener in Urbana on line two. Hi.
Hello. Spinal stenosis with nerve compression. The track record of surgery is not good. What do you recommend?
Oh, well, you know, the failed back surgery, as we call it, is it's not only present with spinal stenosis, but with almost any kind of back problems. The rate of sort of failure in improving the back symptoms is very high, the rate of failure, with a lot of surgeries. It doesn't mean that surgery isn't the right option for some people, but for others, for many people, sometimes time is the best thing that you can do, along with some gentle stretching and strengthening. And then there's some other things around back pain, you know, even with spinal stenosis and some others, is, you know, just making sure that you are ideal body weight and that overweight is not an issue, that you don't smoke, that there's not a lot of stress. All those things can actually help with back pain. But with someone with something like spinal stenosis, where there is a narrowing around the spinal cord, I would suggest meeting with a physical therapist who could come up with an exercise program that was really targeted for your back problem, because strengthening your back, even with the anatomical problems that you have, is really important to do.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Anyone else would like to join us? You're invited. Our guest this afternoon, Dr. Miriam Nelson, her latest book, Strong Women, Strong Back. She's an exercise physiologist. This is the Afternoon Magazine. My name is Celeste Quinn. Join us with a telephone call if you've got a question about backs, back pain. 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. That's the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. Why is smoking a factor in back problem?
We don't know. It's really interesting. The smoking data is fascinating. It keeps coming out even after you control for it in a scientific way, but smokers tend to have more back problems, and it is an enigma. We don't know. We don't know if it's, you know, the carbon monoxide or what it is from smoking, but it does keep coming out as a pretty robust risk factor for back problems. Mm. I think that and for basically everything else. But there's another element which we also don't completely understand, and that's around stress. There's been a number of different studies that have actually looked at a large number of people over time. At the beginning of the study, they do MRIs to look at the back, to see the anatomy of the back, and if there's any problems. And then they also look at a number of other factors around stress, around, you know, body weight, et cetera. And it's fascinating that over time, those people that have back problems, that even a greater indicator, predictor of future back problems was actually stress and anxiety, more so even than pre-existing anatomical problems within the back. So this is a study done in Sweden with nurses. There's been some work done with nurses, and it's really fascinating to see that stress is a more potent predictor than even anatomical problems.
That's interesting. Is it? Do they think in part it is because when we're under a lot of stress and we're anxious that the body is doing things chemically that it doesn't ordinarily do?
Yeah, it's probably, I bet it's a fact, it's a number of factors, one of which is just what you said, that in fact, stress itself, you have a whole higher level of cortisol and other hormones that may make it more difficult to repair problems, et cetera. So it creates an environment in which is not quite as healthy for your whole body. So from a hormonal perspective, there may also be another element that when you are stressed, you are tighter in your jaw and your neck, and your back is just tight, and that tightness also then over time contributes to the back problems. It could be that when you're stressed out, a lot of people don't exercise as appropriately, they don't eat as well. I would bet that it's a whole host of problems.
Would
be my guess.
Yeah. Let's talk with some more listeners. Next, we go to a listener in Champaign on line one. Hi.
Hi.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good.
I've actually heard you speak before, and I've read a couple of your other books. So.
Oh, great. Well, did you see me when I came to town?
Yes, at Carle Hospital.
Oh, yeah. That's great. I've come twice. I love it there.
Well, thank you. My question is, in the middle of the summer, I broke a disc in my back, and I ruptured the one above it, and I've had tremendous amount of pain between now and then. The doctor said he would prefer not to operate. He said to just, you know, try to let it heal. And the one thing he offered for therapy, he called it the McKinsey style of therapy. I haven't been able to find a lot of information out on that, and I haven't gotten back with him yet to start that. I wondered if you could maybe pass along some information on that.
Well, you know, I spoke with an earlier caller about this issue, what we call sort of, you know, failed back surgery. And time may be a better healer than even surgery for some people. So I can't see you, and I'm not an MD. I'm an exercise physiologist and a nutritionist. So I'm trying to be cautious with what I say in terms of recommendations. But the research would state that you might be better off waiting for surgery. I am not familiar with the McKenzie therapy. There are a number of different types of alternative therapies that do seem to have an impact. A couple are things like the Alexander technique. Even just psychotherapy has been shown to be helpful. There's another massage can be helpful. There's a Feldenkrais method that is also been shown, and a lot of these are around coordination and back alignment and things like that. So, but I don't know about the McKenzie therapy for back problems. So
okay,
I can't really say. You've stumped me for this.
Well, it was just a recommendation in the surgeon's notes, and it was his decision that surgery was not as better as waiting. So I thought that was. Since the surgeon recommended it himself, you know.
Yeah,
I'm still waiting.
and it may be, I mean, I'm actually just looking online. I just did a search, and there is a McKenzie Institute. So I would go there probably and take a look at it.
Okay.
And it looks like it is a very sort of physical therapy-based program, and I think that I can't say because I don't know about it personally, but when you're working with professionals and they're very, very targeted on back treatment, you know, a lot of times they, in good hands, there's a lot that good physical therapists can do with you doing the appropriate exercises. This failed, you know, surgery, back surgery is really fascinating. And you would think that with some of these problems that are very, you know, it's dealing with very specific anatomical problems, that the surgery should work well, but it doesn't as much as it should. And that's where time sometimes with a good therapist can be more on your side.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Next, we talk with a listener in Savoy on line 2. Hi.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hey, I am trying to decide if you have any guidelines for when to seek medical help. And when you seek medical help, the pros and cons of seeking chiropractic versus MD kind of support. So, for example, in my situation, I have two conditions that I'm working with. One is a kind of hip differential where I do get one hip that comes up more than the other, which causes hip pain, but it's aggravated by prolonged sitting, as you pointed out, and not exercising. So when I'm careful about those things, those symptoms go away. But I also have a second symptom, which is in my neck area, which is related to an accident, a bike accident that I had. So I guess I just would like to hear you talk about how to think through, you know, all the feedback we get about chiropractic and MD and when to have a manipulation and when not. I mean, I even had one chiropractor tell me that he thought I had scoliosis and so forth. So it sort of put me into this shock mode and just wanting to sort of hear someone think through this for me.
Right. Well, it sounds like you're being very thoughtful about it. good chiropractors are fabulous, just as good doctors are fabulous. So, and there are more and more reputable chiropractors that really deal with back problems most of the time. I still think that a good primary care physician should be able to help you guide you the best with who you should be seeing. I mean, as you said, when you are really exercising appropriately and doing some strengthening exercises, some of your back problems go away. You still have some neck problems. It's hard to say, but I would try to use a good primary care physician as your guide, and then also make sure. I mean, you know, I'm not in Champaign-Urbana, but you know, in the Boston area, there happens to be one chiropractor who is absolutely phenomenal at body alignment and working with athletes and runners, which I'm a runner, and he, you know, he's just happens to be phenomenal. And so I do, you know, I see him occasionally, and there may be that person, you know, that's in your area that is, it could be a physical therapist, it could be a chiropractor, it could be an MD that really specializes in backs and looking at it from a holistic approach, you know, not necessarily looking at it from the surgery approach. It sometimes depends on who in your area really is the expert.
Okay, well, thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck.
And in the area, there are a number of folks in sports medicine, which might be another thing.
Yes,
good sports
medicine docs would be fantastic.
Okay.
But there are some fabulous physical therapists. There are some fabulous chiropractors. You know, it really depends on, you know, who works with backs, and not just on, you know, getting things in alignment, but also on making sure that the whole person is healthier in terms of exercise and lifestyle.
Miriam Nelson is our guest this afternoon in this portion of the Afternoon Magazine. Her latest book is Strong Women, Strong Backs, Everything You Need to Know to Prevent, Treat, and Beat Back Pain. Next, we're going to talk with a listener on line 3 in Champaign. Hi.
Hello.
Hi there.
How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you, Dr. Nelson.
Good.
I bought your book years ago, Strong Women Stay Young, and I really enjoyed using it. It's helped a lot.
Oh, good.
And I have a question. After listening, this might not be appropriate, but I have a 93-year-old friend who has terrible back pain. She was just diagnosed with a fracture. It seems probable that it is just a spontaneous fracture from her osteoporosis.
Yep.
But the pain, she's in such terrible pain, and I didn't know if there's any relaxing things or very soft exercises I could help her with too.
Right. There are what you talk about is not uncommon with someone in advanced age.
Right.
And sometimes, unlike hip fractures and wrist fractures, fractures of the vertebra can actually happen spontaneously in someone quite old.
Right.
And they tend to be, not always, but they tend to be quite acutely very painful.
Yeah, she's just in lots of pain.
You know, there are, I would talk to a geriatrician.
Okay.
Or a good orthopedic surgeon.
Okay.
And there are some new remedies. Literally, they're like injections that they're being certainly tested here in the Boston area, and I bet there's some areas around you, where they actually, it's almost like a an analog to bone that they can insert into the vertebra that will stabilize the vertebra and help to reduce pain.
Okay, now that they suggested, they call it a glue.
Yes, it's like a glue.
Okay.
It is like an epoxy.
Right.
That's there to stabilize it. There are some other osteoporosis medications as well, some that actually have some sort of analgesic properties. Calcitonin can sometimes have that. With an acute thing, you need to, it's like any fracture, it's painful. And when it's in your back, it radiates all over. So a good geriatrician or a good orthopedic surgeon should be able to come up with some short-term remedy for pain control and then a long-term remedy for making sure this doesn't happen again.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's just she's been in pain for quite a while. It's just recently gotten worse, and that's what makes them think it might be a new fracture. They're hoping so. She has to go for an MRI on Monday.
Yep, she should have either an X-ray or an MRI done.
Oh, she just had the X-ray. That's how they found the.
Yep.
That's how they found
to
the fracture.
To see what it is. So
I didn't know to recommend anything, and I thought, well, if you were there and you were talking about back.
Yeah, and some of it is relaxing the back. But it is tightness, but it's also literally there are. You know, nerve centers around that vertebra, and it's very painful.
Yeah.
So, but a good geriatrician or a good orthopedic surgeon should be able to give her some pain relief.
Oh, I hope so. Okay, well, thanks very much.
Yeah,
for
good
your
luck. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Next, we talk with a listener in Urbana, line 2. Hello.
Hi.
Hi there.
I had some back pain earlier this year and went to the Carl Spine people, and got some exercises and doing a lot better. In the x-rays, the doctor told me some arthritis showed up down in the lower back and the vertebrae, I guess, or somewhere in there. And I don't know a whole lot about arthritis. It's one of those things that bends your fingers when you get old and gives people problems. But is that something I can expect to... I don't know if it grows or what, or can I expect it to get worse with time?
Well, degenerative arthritis or osteoarthritis, which is probably what you have, can happen in any joint. And if you think of your back, every place that a vertebra comes together is a joint. So there's lots of joints where things can go wrong.
Yep.
And arthritis, in fact, you should also take a look at my Strong Women and Men Beat Arthritis book, because we have a lot of information in terms of nutrition and physical activity to help minimize the progression of arthritis and to also try to help reduce pain. One of the things that we have seen with arthritis, which is a major contributor to back pain, is that strengthening the back in particular, or the joint where there is arthritis, does help to minimize pain and probably helps to minimize the progression of arthritis. There are a number of different reasons why arthritis happens. Some of it is overweight is an issue. Smoking, again, is an issue. But then there's a whole genetic component, things like that. So what you want to do when you have some mild arthritis is to minimize that progression and to minimize the pain and loss of function. So there is a lot you can do. But it really does center on good exercises, good nutrition, ideal body weight, and keeping an eye on it.
Okay. Tell me the name of the book again.
Strong Women and Men Beat Arthritis.
Okay.
And if you go to the website, which is don't be shy, strongwomen.com, there is a list of the books there as well.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
You're very welcome. That website is terrific, by the way.
Oh, thanks. We're working on trying to keep it up to date.
Yeah, strongwomen.com. Our guest this afternoon, Miriam Nelson. She is an associate professor at the Friedman School of Nutrition, Science, and Policy and director of the Center for Physical Activity and Nutrition at Tufts University. She's the author of a series of best-selling books on strength and health, including Strong Women, Strong Hearts, Strong Women and Men Beat Arthritis, and Strong Women, Strong Bones. The latest book is about backs and back pain. The title, Strong Women, Strong Backs, the publisher, Putnam. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL, if you'd like to talk with our guest, Miriam Nelson, this afternoon. What can we do in the office and at home to keep things healthy?
Well, you know, it's I think the fact that many of us can easily spend, 7 to 10 hours a day sitting at a computer, you start to realize that a third to half of your day is sitting at a chair with your arms poised on a keyboard and looking at a computer. Now, I know that's a generalization, but it's the case for many people these days. And therefore, that's a large chunk of your day in which if you don't have a chair that is the right height and gives you good back support, and your computer is not at the right level and the keyboard is not at the right level, can have a big impact on your shoulders, your neck, and your back. Would I suggest that there's any possibility of getting an occupational therapist or someone at work who actually deals with the settings and the heights and levels of the chair and computer at work, get them in, have them take a look, and make sure that you're fitted correctly to your work environment. Barring that, what we've done in Strong Women, Strong Backs is try to give you some guidance. So with a chair, you want to make sure that the chair is of the right height. Now, I'm only 5'4". Most chairs for me, my feet don't touch the ground. But I now have a chair in which I can change the level. My feet are firmly on the ground, so my knee is at a right angle, my thigh to my calf is at a right angle, my back is supported, but I move around in the chair. I'll move forward, I'll move back, and that's good. The height of the computer is such that I don't have to look up or I don't have to look down, and the keyboard is at a level that's actually a little bit lower than the monitor, so that my arms don't have to be, I don't have to hold my arms up in order to type on the keyboard. Now, the other thing that I've done, which I really recommend people consider, is get what we call a physio ball or an exercise ball, and you can actually use that part of the day to sit on, and it actually gives you a great workout in your abdomen and keeps things exciting when you're sitting down. So I can't quite do it all day because it's pretty tiring, but it's a great way to give a little different element to your chair. Some people in the center here at Tufts have standing desks, and so they have a desk where there's a chair, but their computer's at a standing desk, and they find that that's actually more comfortable for their back. So it is important that you find a good place because you are going to be spending a lot of time there. If you are not someone that sits at a computer all day, wherever you work, you want to make sure that you have an environment that is back friendly, and that includes the shoe. If you're standing most of the day, you want to make sure you have shoes that are supportive, comfortable, and give you a bit of cushioning. Heels are really problematic for backs if you're wearing them all the time and standing in them. So stay away from them if you can. And I'm sorry if I'm offending anybody, but heels really are problematic to backs. And then things like the kitchen. You do want to make sure that the environment in the kitchen or other areas where you spend a lot of time, that the counters are at a good height for you, and that everything is very accessible and you're not having to reach too far. It's fine here and there, but if it's all the time, that's where you can get into back problems.
Yeah. What about, you mentioned sleeping. What about the bedroom? What about the mattress?
Well, I love sleep. I value sleep very, very highly. And I'm lucky because I have three kids and they all value their sleep as well, as so does my husband. So I feel very fortunate in that realm. Most people actually get about 45 minutes less sleep than they really should be getting. And sleep is really important for your overall back health. And then the right kind of mattress. Now here it's a little bit like Goldilocks. The right mattress for one person is not necessarily the right mattress for another person. What I suggest is that you actually spend a fair amount of time. It's not an insignificant investment, but a good bed will last you, over a decade. So it is an investment that lasts probably longer than your car does. Spend some time. Really, get on the bed. Spend some time there. Make sure it's comfortable. If you can find a mattress store that will give you a guarantee if you don't like the bed within a couple of weeks or a month and will exchange it, that would be fantastic. Because it's hard until you actually sleep in the bed whether you know it's really comfortable. But you basically want a bed that's modestly firm, that can give your whole back support. And I think good pillows are also very important as well.
Okay, very good advice. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Our guest this afternoon, Miriam Nelson, her latest book, Strong Women, Strong Backs, Everything You Need to Know to Prevent, Treat, and Beat Back Pain. You can join us this afternoon, listeners, with a question, a comment, 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. 800-222-WILL, 800-222-WILL. A reminder that a winter storm warning is in effect for all of central Illinois and much of northern Illinois through a good portion of tomorrow in the WILL severe weather coverage area. The winter storm warning covers Champaign, Christian, Coles, DeWitt, Douglas, Edgar, Ford, Iroquois, Livingston, Logan, Macon, McLean, Moultrie, Piatt, Sangamon, Shelby, and Vermilion counties, and it is in effect through noon tomorrow. Well, speaking of winter weather, and it won't be long and the snow shovels will come out. And you got any advice there about shoveling and about lifting in general?
Yes, well, shoveling is one, shoveling snow or dirt, you know, for a long period of time, but particularly snow, is very, very tough on your lower back. And it's actually very tough because it's not an activity you do, well, it depends on the winter, but you don't do it on a daily basis. And that makes it novel, and therefore your body generally isn't quite up to it. And it's also very asymmetrical. It's off to one side, so there's a twisting element to it. The best thing you can do with snow is make sure that your shovel doesn't have such a big bucket that you lift so much with every one. So it's better to lift smaller amounts of snow and get through it a little bit more slowly than to be lifting large amounts. And you want to make sure you get your legs into it. It's not just bending over and getting your back and your arms into it, that you actually put your whole body into the shoveling experience. It can be a great workout, but you do have to be protective of your back. Thinking about lifting things, one rule of thumb is really don't ever lift something that is too heavy for you and that is something you perceive as being a Herculean effort, because that's where you really get into back problems, especially the older you get. Get some help. Find some other individuals who are much stronger, but you got to be careful because those one-time events can be a precipitating factor in disc problems, in crushing a vertebra, in muscle problems. So be careful with lifting things that are too heavy. But when you're lifting things in general that are within your ability, you know, bend your legs. Don't just bend over and pick up stuff, because that's where you add a lot of torque to the back. And then lift slowly, and don't try to lift too far up overhead. Try to move things slowly up.
Okay. And advice for parents in terms of lifting. There's a woman I work with who's a very petite, and her daughter is not yet two and is almost maybe a third of her size.
Yeah, children are, I can tell you that's where when I had most of my back problems was when my children were very young. Switch sides carrying them, get them to do more walking. A two-year-old, you know, we have a major issue with energy imbalance for children and childhood obesity, so try to get the child to walk more. I'm not trying to be tough, but it is, we actually, the use of strollers now and of carrying kids is so much more than it was, so get kids back walking again. One thing that's good about children is that, you know, you start out with a 6 or 7 pound and then they slowly work up, so at least you're getting some training as you're going. But at some point in time, sometimes kids are just too heavy and you really, you know, you shouldn't be carrying them around for a long period of time. There are other ways. If you have to, you know, a backpack or something that's a little bit more supportive of a kid than just on your hip.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the big boy, big girl gambit works pretty good with getting them walking, too.
Exactly. So, yeah. You know, there's some other things, you know, in the same sort of issue around overweight. I mean, when we are overweight, we put much more stress on all our joints, and especially the lower back. So weight control, you may not think of it as being important for your back health, but it is also very important for your back health.
Let's talk with another listener. Caller in Champaign on line one. Hi.
Hi. Good afternoon, doctor. I have several of your textbooks.
Oh, well, thank you.
Oh, very good. There is a very high-quality local shoe store which is selling a new type of regular shoe. It's laced up with a low heel. But the heel is lower than the front, and supposedly their promotion is that forces you to stand up straight because you are because of the way the shoe is made, you tend to kind of tilt backwards because of the lower level of the heel.
Yeah.
What is your opinion of the?
Well, it's interesting. Actually, someone in our group here walks in those shoes and swears by them. But I don't know any research around it. I know it's much. What I know is much more anecdotal. I don't know much about the research, so it's hard. I don't know that there's been much research, you know, unbiased research. What I think about shoes is that you've got to find a brand or the type of shoe that really works for you, that does have some support, some cushioning, and you know that most people they're wearing really lousy shoes for their feet and their back. So.
Right.
Anything is an improvement over what most people are wearing. So I still, you can hear me rant and rave a lot about shoes and what people wear. I can promise you I can do that. I think the biggest thing is I'm really thrilled that some companies are realizing that people want to have some fashionable shoes that are also really good for them. So I think it's starting to happen.
Well, I've been a professor all my life and stood up lots, and I always wore kind of like shoes that were laced up, and my sister always kidded me about wearing homely shoes, but I don't have corns or anything. So I was just wondering, what do you think of the act? Is that a true anatomical reaction that you would kind of stand up straighter if the heel is lower?
Yes, it does actually cause you to stand up a little bit straighter because it puts you off balance just a tiny bit. It changes your center of balance just a tiny bit.
Yeah.
But I'm not necessarily convinced. Again, I haven't seen any research, but I'm not convinced that you can't stand up straight without a regular shoe as well.
Yeah, and I was wondering, too, that now that I'm older, when you tend to not be in as good balance as you ordinarily would when you're younger, that might really throw you off.
Yeah, it might be an issue as well. So.
Right.
Yeah, well, keep on wearing those good shoes because you'll have good feet and good back for a much longer period of time.
Oh, I do. Thank you. I saw you also at Carl Hospital.
Oh, great. I really enjoyed those talks.
Come back again.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, bye.
Let's talk with another listener in Champaign, Line 2. Hi.
Hi there.
Hi.
I have a problem washing dishes, and I wonder if that's something you've run into before. It causes the, I guess, middle upper portion of my back to become really tight and tired.
Yes. You're not alone. That's a common one, and it's not just because you want to get out of doing the dishes. The mid back, there are muscles that come around in the mid back that are quite different than the lower back muscles. They're actually generally they're quite thin and they're not very strong. And when you are washing dishes with the arms up and reaching out, and then you're bending over just a little bit, it really gets at that area quite focused. And many people will have back problems. The thing that I would say is I would really encourage you, even though it's a, you know, strong women, strong backs, there are a few exercises in strong women, strong backs that really target the midsection of the back and the upper back. So these would be, or if you go to the gym, these would be exercises like a row, like a mid-back row, or even a lateral pull-down gets it the lat, which is in the upper back, but we'll also get some of those. But you want to be doing some exercises in which are really targeting that mid-back and helping to strengthen those.
So it's mostly a strength issue.
I would look at it from a strength to begin with. I mean, there could be some pinched nerve that when you get into that position that's getting it.
No.
But I would probably think that it's a strength and flexibility issue, more probably strength.
Okay, cool.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks.
And there we'll leave it. We're out of time. Boy, that flew by. Miriam, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you so much. It's really been a pleasure.
Miriam Nelson has been our guest in this portion of the Afternoon Magazine. She's the author of a series of best-selling books on strength and health, including Strong Women, Strong Hearts, Strong Women and Men Beat Arthritis, and Strong Women, Strong Bones, the latest Strong Women, Strong Backs. The book is published by Putnam, and you might also want to check out the website strongwomen.com.